Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 7 August 2025, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 3 John. 3 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center update. The report for August 6th. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, August 6th, went very well, with the regular group of positive ladies attending. And Daria was a huge help, and Daria will lead the lesson next week while Rich goes on vacation, you know. I'll think of the vacation, but he won't be here. So Pastor Vanslow down here will take over. In this lesson, Pastor Olson returned to passages in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 3 to review reasons why it's important to maintain the eternal perspective. That is, to live your life in the light of eternity, and to explain how there is no equality in heaven. He then taught from 1 John 2:28 to describe how the winner believer will have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ, but the loser believer will have temporary shame. The ladies were very appreciative. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Now, one of the members of our congregation, Martin Rodriguez, God gave him the gift of pastor-teacher, and he will be attending a seminary. And I met with him today, and We talked about he's applying at Chafer Theology Seminary, Chafer Seminary, which used to be in California, now it's in Albuquerque. And he's also thinking about Biola, which is in California. We had a talk, and I said, frankly, I said, I went to Dallas Theological Seminary. When I went, that was probably about the last year that Dallas Seminary put all the emphasis on the languages. You could take pure, my year was the last year you could take pure Hebrew, pure Greek, major in Hebrew, major in Greek, and after my that year it was all watered down. And kind of interesting, my church history prof, John Hanna, Dr. Hanna, was teaching about seminaries in the United States of America. And he says, seminaries, as you study all the seminaries in America over the years, they only stay excellent and orthodox 50 years. And then they decline. They go down. Well, I thought it was very interesting that as I was, we were taking his class, it was the 50th anniversary of Dallas Theological Seminary. And me and a few other fellows, well, I think I know what Dr. Hanna is trying to tell us. And Bob Wilkin, who went to Dallas Theological Seminary, and he, by the way, Bob will be out here again in October and speaking to the congregation. Every time he's come out the last few years, he told me, he says, Dick, Dallas Seminary is over. It's done. It's dead. You will get no preparation for the ministry at Dallas Seminary. And I said, well, there's very few places where you can get preparation for the ministry. But I do know that Chafer Seminary in Albuquerque, they do have some excellent people there that put the emphasis on the original languages of Scripture. So I encourage Martin. I says, here's some the recommendations, and you can send them to both places, but I'm just going to tell you, there's almost no place anymore where you can prepare for the ministry. And he says, Pastor Olson, he says, you know, he says, I grew up at Baraka under the colonel. And he said, and the way he taught, and he would go through word by word and go through the verse and tell you the tense, the voice, the mood, through every verse, through every verb. And he taught that way all the way through. He says, the only place in the world that teaches like that now is you. I said, well, I'm a dinosaur. I'm a dinosaur. Yeah, I still go through and break it all down because it's communicating truth. And he says, I believe God gave me the gift of pastor-teacher, and I want to teach exactly what God put in the God-breathed Scriptures. I said, well, I think the best chance you have is at Chafer. And then he said something interesting. He says, you know what? He said, when way back when the colonel was younger in teaching, he was in a different book every class. Different book, different book, different book. Taught a lot of different. And then as he got older, he would get in one book and stay in that. And I said, and my pastor at Bethany Bible Church, Pastor Breckel, who also graduated from Dallas Seminary, He was in a different book every class. And I decided right there, that's what I'm going to do. And he says, you know, nobody teaches from the Old Testament anymore. He says, I listened, all these pastors and doctrinal pastors, they don't teach from the Old Testament anymore. And when they do teach, they get in one book and they stay in that book, class after class, till they get it finished. I said, I know. But I said, you know, the colonel, when I was first listening to him, he never did that. And I love being in a different book every class. And Pastor Breckel never did that. He was in a different book every class. And so when I graduated and I came here, I made up my mind, I'm going to be in a different class, a different book every class. And I had all these friends who went to Dallas Seminary, friends who grew up in Baraka Church, friends who are pastors, and, well, they used to be pastors, but they're now all dead or almost dead. And they call me and say, Dick, why are you teaching a different book every class? I said, because it's important for me to give the whole realm of doctrine. The whole realm of doctrine. And if you get in, they said, that's too hard. They told me, that's too hard. Don't do that. It's a lot easier if you just get in one book and teach it every day until you finish. That's a lot easier. And I said, I'm not looking for easy. I'm looking for what's right. What's right. And what's right is teaching the whole realm of doctrine, not getting in one book and riding a hobby horse for a couple years till we get done. Not going to do that. I never have done that. And, you know, it's hard to teach an old pastor new tricks. And so I will always be in a different book in every class to teach you the whole realm of doctrine. And I know it's easier to do it the other way, but I'm not doing it the easy way. I'm doing it what I consider to be the right way. So tonight we're in 3 John. Yesterday, 2 Corinthians. Day before that, Zechariah. Sunday, Romans. Because you need the whole realm of doctrine, that's why. But Marty, Martin Rodriguez, he said, that's what I love about your teaching. He says, you're not a dinosaur. He says, you're the light. You're the light in America in your teaching of the Word of God. And there's nobody that goes through the verb like you do and like the colonel did, go breaking it down. Present tense, middle voice, indicative mood, and explaining what is being communicated in each one of that. That's not being done anymore. But why is it put in the present active indicative? Because the present tense is teaching something, the active voice is teaching something, the indicative mood is teaching something. That's why. And who put it there? God the Holy Spirit did. So yeah, that's why I... But anyway, it was refreshing to talk to him. I said, well, here's, fill these out for you. Send them to him. And he says, well, he says, thank you very, very much for filling these out for me. And he says, but you know, he says, today everything is email, computer. And he says, they might want email or computer. And I said, well, tell them that Pastor Olson is a dinosaur. And so this is what you have there. And if it won't take anything else, we'll see what we can do. All right. Well, we are in 3 John. You know, we have a believer in 3 John. His name is Gaius. He's not a pastor. He's not a pastor. He's a layman in the church, but he is an absolute winner believer. And the first half of 3 John is putting the spotlight on this winner believer. And he is to the Apostle John what the Macedonians were to the Apostle Paul. The Macedonian believers were winner believers, spiritually mature believers. And the Apostle Paul loved them. They were the best of the best. And the Apostle John looks at Gaius, and Gaius is the best of the best. So here we have that special believer that the Apostle John recognizes. He is the best of the best. We have exegeted the first 2 verses. It sounds like this. The old man, and the old man is the Greek word presbyteros, and that's a word for the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. So the Apostle John, we find out, he not only has the gift of apostleship, and he's writing New Testament scripture, but he also has the gift of pastor-teacher. He's the presbyteros. He's the old man. He's the commander of the local church. Then he says, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. Verse 2, dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering as well. That's an amazing statement, verse 2. John is recognizing Gaius is a spiritually mature believer. The believer who attains spiritual maturity is classified in the scriptures as hanikon, an articular participle of the verb nikao, which means to be victorious. And the articular participle of hanikon is a noun, the winner, the victor, the winner. And this is the title for the winner believer in the book of Revelation, used by who wrote Revelation? The Apostle John. So he is looking at Gaius as hanikon, the winner believer. This is used in Revelation 2:26, Revelation 3, verse 4. Gaius is a winner believer who glorifies God to the maximum. Gaius is an invisible hero who has maximum impact in human history. And subsequently, he glorifies God to the maximum. Gaius is the kind of believer we need in America right now. This is the kind of believer we need in America. We need Gaiuses everywhere in America. As a spiritually mature believer, Gaius is blessed with the entire greater grace blessing package. And this brought us to a study of what makes up that greater grace blessing package. Now, the greater grace blessing package is made up of 9 categories. So far, we have noted part of the first category. The first category is spiritual blessings. And we have noted 5 subpoints under spiritual blessings. First of all, spiritual blessing means maximum awareness of life, maximum capacity for life. You are very much alive. and you savor every moment of life, whether you're in times of suffering and adversity or times of prosperity. Secondly, we noted the spiritual blessings also include maximum contentment. Contentment is a part of the happiness spectrum. Happiness is a spectrum. And a part of that happiness spectrum is contentment and tranquility and happiness in life, regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstances. Third, spiritual blessing also means maximum use of God's problem-solving devices that He's given to us for spiritual adulthood. And these problem-solving devices are used in varying degrees until you reach spiritual maturity, when they are used to the maximum. The use of these problem-solving devices gives you an edge on life which no one else has. In a moment's time, the winner believer knows how to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing with occupation with Christ, with your personal sense of destiny, with self-contained happiness, sharing the happiness of God, the whole spectrum of happiness, the great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind, doctrinal orientation, grace orientation, the faith rest life, the filling of the Spirit, and of course, very critical, rebound. And the winner believer keeps short account with God. You're going to sin. Just because you're a winner believer doesn't mean you don't sin. Now, I have heard, and I've had believers tell me, I haven't sinned for the last 6 years. And I look, I go, you know what? You just broke the record because you just sinned. You lied. See, now some of you would say this, I haven't sinned in the last 6 minutes. But that's why we have silent prayer. We have silent prayer, why? You know, for rebound. Now you come in here smiling, and you know, you look like you have your halo up on top of your head and all that. But usually, some of you, you need to rebound before we get started, so few moments of silent prayer. Now, if you didn't know what that was for, rebound. Make sure you're back in fellowship with God. Now, all of these problem-solving devices produce a fantastic confidence, unique and exclusive to the winner believer. Fourth, the spiritual blessings include maximum blessings in your relationships in life. Relationship with God, relationship with people, relationship with self. And fifth, some of the spiritual blessings specific to spiritual maturity include the following. And I gave you 11 of those. Maximum contentment, which is the stability of happiness, maximum tranquility, which is the backbone of happiness, maximum poise, which is the overt manifestation of happiness, maximum capacity for life, love, and happiness, maximum production in Christian service from true motivation, motivated by the filling of the Spirit and metabolize doctrine in your heart. And maximum divine good production is described in the Word of God as gold, silver, and precious stone. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. And you have the maximum function of your spiritual gift. And you have a personal sense of destiny. You live your life in the light of eternity. And you have maximum virtue. You have grace righteousness instead of self-righteousness. You are an invisible hero, and you have invisible but real impact in three categories: personal impact, national impact, and international impact. And you have the ability to interpret historical trends and what's going on in America and in the world. You can evaluate these things from the divine viewpoint. And you fulfill passages, and then we ended with these passages last time, and I'd like to start with these passages this time. You fulfill such passages as Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, where the Apostle Paul says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And then fulfilling passages like 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 8, which says, the spiritual life actually is a means of great gain when it's accompanied by contentment. That is the spectrum of sharing the happiness of God. Verse 7, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Happiness, a part of the happiness spectrum. And then Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, which says, let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? The starting out in that state, be free from the love of money. You want to characterize the United States of America and its apostasy and degeneracy today? That's one of the major characteristics right there. And you know what? It's destroying Las Vegas. It's destroying Las Vegas. The casinos, the hotels and casinos. Nobody's coming here anymore. Tourism has gone down and out. Tourism in Las Vegas is way, way down. And why? Well, it used to be when you come to Las Vegas and have a room, they give you complimentary water in your room. Now it's, $20 a bottle. Now you can spend the night at my house and we'll only charge $5 a bottle. Now at my house you get free water. Yeah. They're charged for everything. And nobody wants to come here. Why? The love of money. And everything about it now in the hotels and the casinos, it's all the love of money. You go to a restaurant and eat, my God, you have to take out a loan to go have dinner. Well, and you got colleges. Now we're paying college athletes millions of dollars to come and play college sports. Now, I got a full scholarship to Washington State University to run track. I thought that was the most amazing thing ever. My mom and dad couldn't afford to send me to college. They couldn't. But Jack Mooberry, the track coach at WSU, offered me a full scholarship. And it was the first full scholarship that he ever offered to anybody at Washington State. And that was fantastic, a blessing. But I didn't say, Coach, where's my $1 million? You're not going to pay me $1 million to come here and run track? And now pay out college athletes. It's ruining college athletics. So now we're still in spiritual blessings. Point six. As a winner believer, you are not in any way influenced by the worst things that happen to believers. And what are those things? Arrogant self-righteousness, pious hypocrisy, legalism, human good dead works rather than divine good production as a result of spiritual maturity, and all the other functions of pseudo-spirituality. So spiritual blessings means you are not in any way influenced by the worst things that happen to believers. 7, instead you have maximum grace orientation. Our God is a God of grace. He's a God of grace. Operation Grace. That's how we call the salvation plan of the Father. Operation Grace. The grace plan of the Son in grace went to a cross and paid the penalty for all of our sins once and for all. In grace. We didn't earn it or deserve it. So that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life and imputed righteousness. God's plan is grace for each one of us. As soon as we believe in Christ, He establishes the grace pipeline, and He sends down that grace pipeline 40 salvation blessings instantly and every day from that day right up to today. Logistical grace, blessing, and support. He graces us out, graces us out, graces us out. Why? So that we can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attain spiritual maturity, and then He sends down that grace pipeline to us, greater grace blessings for time, which we're studying. Greater grace blessing for time, and at the judgment seat of Christ, greater grace blessing for all eternity. And 8, you have now a dynamic spiritual life, a supernatural life, the spiritual life, which glorifies God and pleases God to the maximum. Your life glorifies God to the maximum. Your life pleases God to the maximum. 9, you have finally come to the point where you can say that God's plan has been executed in your life. God's magnificent grace plan has been executed in your life. 10. Other spiritual blessings include mental stability, orientation to reality, grace thinking from the absolute truth of the Word of God, and subsequent grace motivation. You're motivated by grace, grace decisions, and grace actions. You live your life by the Royal Family Honor Code. You live your life by the Royal Family Honor Code. 11. Therefore, you have maximum control of your life. Maximum control of your life. That's the first category of greater grace blessings. Category number two of greater grace blessings is our temporal blessings. Now, the spotlight and the emphasis is on the spiritual blessings that God provides for the winner believer. But God also provides for that winner believer temporal blessings. God does provide temporal blessings for that winner believer as well. So let's take a look at that. One, the principle is this. If God doesn't promote you, you are not promoted. If God doesn't promote you, you are not promoted. That's all in God's perfect plan. God has a perfect plan for each one of us. His decisions are absolutely perfect. And he has a perfect plan for each one of your lives. And his decisions for you, absolutely perfect. He's the quarterback. He calls the plays. He's the potter. We're the clay. His decisions are absolutely perfect. And God does not promote any winner believer beyond his limitations or into a place of activity where he would be distracted or his spiritual life would be neutralized. So if God doesn't promote you, you are not promoted. Two, the church age believer can only be promoted as a result of living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The church age believer can only be promoted as a result of living this unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And this is because the key to the spiritual life is your mental attitude. Your mental attitude at any moment, which determines your motivation and your decisions and your actions. Three, the church age believer must think of promotion as the result of fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. So the church age believer must think of promotion as the result of fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Now, while all spiritually mature believers have spiritual blessings, all winner believers have spiritual blessings, temporal blessings vary with the individual mature believer. But some of the categories of those temporal blessings, we will note, for example, there is establishment prosperity. Establishment prosperity. And that is the blessings of privacy and the blessings of freedom. It's the enjoyment of both life and property. It is the protection from crime and reprisal and violence and from vindication by others. All of this is a part of establishment prosperity. It is contentment under national disaster. And we may be living and see national disaster in the United States of America. We could have Russia hates us. Russia wants to destroy us. Iran hates us. Iran wants to destroy us. North Korea hates us. North Korea wants to destroy us. And we could be face a nuclear war taking out the United States of America. National disaster. So this establishment prosperity means you would have contentment even in the midst of national disaster. So that's establishment prosperity. Secondly, there is war and national emergency prosperity. War and national emergency prosperity. And this includes the blessings of efficiency, success, promotion, and for some, leadership, whether leadership as a soldier or leadership as a civilian. So there is war and national emergency prosperity. Third, there is professional prosperity. Professional prosperity. This is maximum success or efficiency in a profession, whether it's law or medicine or engineering or science or military or teaching or law enforcement or athletics or art or music or literature. Now I know, I listen, it's hard to find music today. There's a lot of noise, but it's just hard to find music today. Now, we wake up every morning and I put on a CD. Johannes Bach, yeah. The Passions of Matthew. And I put it on. We listen to that. And we got coming up, Johannes Bach, The Passions of John. Debbie hasn't heard these yet. That's coming up. Now that was music. Johannes Sebastian Bach. That was music. And while I was at Dallas Seminary, Paul Stark, a fantastic young man with the gift of pastor teacher, was a pastor teacher in Texas. He graduated from Dallas Seminary. We were buddies right across the hall from each other. And he was ordained to Baraka. And when we knew that we were going to be going to Houston and Baraka, Paul would be practicing on the piano. Practice, 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 practice. No music. There's no music in front of him. It's all in here. And he's playing that piano. gone all over. And I would sit down there and just listen to Paul practice that piano. Because when we got to Baraka, the colonel would have Paul go up and play the organ. And I was there. Paul was playing the organ. It was before a class started. And the people in the congregation were talk, 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 making all this noise, laughing and telling. All. And the colonel got up and he goes, "Shut up! I don't get Paul Stark to come here and play Bach very often. And he's here playing Bach. It's fantastic. Now you shut up and listen to the music." And then he turned around. "Okay, Paul, go ahead." And it was so quiet, you could hear the pin drop. Paul was amazing. And he didn't have any music. Now that is music. Now, what is today, and that drives me up a wall. And it's hard for me to get up a wall with my knees. So, professional prosperity, maximum success or efficiency in a profession, whether it's law, medicine, engineering, science, military, teaching, law enforcement, athletics, art, music, or literature. 4, there is business prosperity. Business prosperity, where pertinent, this is success in business as an owner or as an executive of a large corporation, or success as a salesman or an administrator or as a laborer. 5, there is social prosperity. Social prosperity, and this is the possession of loving, faithful, reliable, and stable friends. Friends. Always friends. And maximum enjoyment of your relationships with them. It's the ability to handle all sorts of social situations. Your great happiness and enthusiasm for life is expressed both vocally and in silence. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Silence with your friends. 6, there is romantic prosperity. Romantic prosperity. And this is a wonderful relationship with a member of the opposite sex, where happiness replaces sinfulness. Romantic prosperity is perpetuated under all circumstances of suffering, adversity, and prosperity. This romantic prosperity is the reality of a successful and happy marriage. A successful and happy marriage. Romantic prosperity. And 7, there is mental prosperity. And this is the ability to concentrate, to organize both your thinking and your life, to synthesize, to analyze. And this is moral courage, which is the ability to think under pressure. The ability to think under pressure. The function of wisdom, where you accurately and skillfully apply the metabolized doctrine in your heart to your life. This is the development of common sense, which is very uncommon today, and an excellent sense of humor. You can laugh at yourself. Mental prosperity includes freedom from the mental attitude sins of fear and worry and anxiety. They're gone. Not to worry. Harlan Dodson, who was in our congregation here for years and years and years, and he still, he just had his 91st, just had his 91st birthday, Harlan did. We called up and I sang my famous happy birthday to him. He says, "Dick, we still listen to your class. We get it by email. Right after you teach the class, we listen to it every single class," he says. And, you know, these are the best of the best. And so you have this great mental prosperity. It includes freedom from the mental attitude sins of fear and worry and anxiety. And you become more observant and you are aware of others and their problems. And therefore you do not do things that would hurt them in any way, because you have impersonal love for all. And therefore, you treat everyone by the Royal Family Honor Code. That's a part of mental prosperity. 8, there is cultural prosperity. And this is maximum capacity for good entertainment. This is enjoyment of the best in music. Just if you can find music, not noise. The best in music and art and literature, drama, history, and whatever your hobbies are. From horticulture to equitation. Didn't understand that? From flowers to horses. Or mules. Or jackasses. 9. There is health prosperity. Health prosperity. Now, a disclaimer here. If you have violated too many principles of health already, you may not have good health. But you will have the ability to cope. You will have the ability to cope with your lack of good health. With a great mental attitude, you will have the ability to cope with your lack of good health. And this prosperity means nervous energy and nervous stability. Though not necessarily freedom from pain. You can be in great health and have pain. An abundance of nervous energy and stability is a characteristic of all great men of history. 10. There is leadership dynamics prosperity. Leadership dynamics prosperity. Now, this is not for everyone. This is a blessing for some by virtue either of their genetics or their spiritual gift, or it can be acquired. This is the ability to take any assigned responsibility and do it efficiently and cheerfully and effectively. This is the ability to assume authority and responsibility without the loss of virtue and integrity and without using tyranny. This is true leadership, not micromanagement. Today, we have lots of micromanagement. We have very little true leadership. Now, several passages refer to some of these prosperities. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, we have the personification of wisdom. Wisdom is the word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart, the metabolization of Bible doctrine. And verse 17 says, I love those who love me. I love those who love me, Bible doctrine, the Word of God. And those who seek me, Bible doctrine, they find me. And with me, Bible doctrine, maximum metabolized doctrine, wisdom in your heart, are riches and honor, great blessings in time, temporal blessings in time. And enduring wealth and prosperity, blessing for all eternity. Now turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Psalm of David. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me. That's David as a spiritually mature believer. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. He, David, is king. My cup overflows. Greater grace blessings in time, which we are studying. My cup overflows with greater grace blessings in time. Surely goodness and grace will pursue me and all the days of my life. That is greater grace blessings in time. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, greater grace blessings for all eternity. Well, that's the second category. Category number two, temporal blessings. That brings us to category number three. Have to come back next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.